You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
What a day. We love the draft, and it's almost here. It really is, for me and for so many, one of the most exciting nights of the year. And we are just about to it. I kind of wanted and expected there to have been a lot more fun rumors and news even today than we've had. And I think we've had next to none. I don't know if I'm right. Sal Capaccio with us on the Wester Hotline. We're also up on Facebook Live this hour once again, brought to you by Quilted Squirrel. Sal, what has happened today? Anything? Like, have you heard anything cool? Or, I mean, maybe the Rams want to trade up, maybe the Eagles. Maybe I'm also wrong for thinking that there would have been stuff today. I don't know.
But yeah, you have a high standard, man. I got to tell you.
But you're mad at the Bears being reportedly interested in trading out a 9.
I'm mad at the process.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think, Sal, I'll get out of the way here quickly. I think that a lot of that won't start happening until the draft starts rolling. Like, I was not expecting a bunch of trades between 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock tonight. I just think once the Patriots get on the clock, maybe things could get pretty interesting.
Yeah, I don't think that ever really happens, like, right before the draft. That's how it works, is you get maybe a deal or two earlier on in the process. We had that with Minnesota and Houston, obviously. Might have been something else here or there, but that was the big one. And then there's nothing, and then you get to the draft day, and you start to hear about what teams are willing to do, and who knows what's real, what's not, who's telling those things to reporters because they want it out there. And then, really, no one knows. No one knows how it's going to fall. I mean, case in point, Brandon Bean saying last year, like, we had a deal in hand I really liked. I was going to trade down. I really liked what I was getting. And then Dalton Kincaid just fell too far, and I had to go get him. He was the guy I really liked. So you just don't know. Nobody knows what Brandon Bean, doesn't know what he's going to do unless he has literally a deal right now in his hand. And even then, guys,
right?
That's when a team says, I'll make the deal with you if my guy's not there. That happened in 2018. Mm-hmm. They had a deal in place to trade with the Broncos to draft Josh Allen. But the Broncos said, we're not going to make that deal if our guy is there. Well, guess what? Their guy was Bradley Chubb. He was there. Bills had to scramble, and eventually I think it was Tampa who they wound up making the deal with. I did read earlier, Tom Curran in Boston reported it is going to be Drake May unless the Vikings or Giants make an offer they can't refuse. I read yesterday the Giants are very, very eager to come out of this draft with a quarterback. They're looking to trade up for one or even sit and take Michael Penix. So maybe that qualifies for you, Mike. I'm not really sure, but that's what I got for you.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't know. I want some stuff that I want to have to decide whether I want to fall for it or not. You know, I want to have the conversation in my head.
Like, well, it's good if it happens while we're together, because I can usually tell you, like, don't fall for that. That's ridiculous.
I think McCarthy for the Patriots. That's what I think. From everything I've seen and read is that they will pick him. Maybe they can trade down a couple of spots and do that. But they're a really interesting team. I mean, yeah, sometimes I think about these teams, Sal, as if like that was the team we talked about every day. And, you know, you almost always want to not pass up the chance to draft one of these quarterbacks when you're lucky enough, so to speak, to be drafting third here in a good quarterback year. But I don't know. I don't know how good a situation that is for a quarterback to develop with skill position players and just sort of like the makeup with the coaching staff and everything. So I think it's reasonable if New England went in a different direction, you know, without necessarily factoring in what they think the potential is for May or McCarthy. But it's probably quarterback there. I just don't think it has to be.
Well, I think you have, you know, a really good point about, you know, you never know, because they may feel, hey, Gerard Mayo's in there. He's a new coach. He may want to really kind of set his roster before he goes and does that if he's not super comfortable and saying, look, I got a lot of holes here. If I can trade down and get more picks, if I can surround whoever's going to play this year and then really kind of strike next year for the guy we want. You know, the Bills did that in 2017, and obviously infamously because Patrick Mahomes draft, but it worked out with the Bills to get Josh Allen, but that's what they did in Sean McDermott's first year and as a new coach. So there's definitely an opportunity for that. I've also read that they could trade down and then trade back up, you know, depending on what kind of capital they get to do something like that. So who knows what's happening? I think that there's probably a lot of phone calls being made. I still believe the Bills are going to try and call all around the board, and I think odds are the Bills are not picking where they're slotted at 28, but that's just because Brandon Bean has a history of trading, and he's traded four of the six drafts that he's been in charge of, and I think that he's probably, you know, more likely to trade than not, and to me it's more likely up, but I wouldn't even be surprised if it's down.
I think his history tells you that, and if they didn't have what looks to be a glaring need at a position like receiver, I think we'd still be sort of bracing for him to trade up for whatever, a center or something. Just the guy he likes. He's just done that with these minor, you know, minor little 2-3 trade up moves, giving up a fourth rounder the last couple of years. But with where they are at receiver, Sal, it just would surprise me, you know, not knowing. I say it this way a lot. If the Bills, if Bean likes a half a dozen of these guys, then there's no urgency. Then you can just sit tight and like, all right, I'm just going to pick whichever guy is there, and I'm fine. But I don't think that's that likely that they have that similar a grade on that many guys. And considering no Davis and no Diggs, your two outside receivers from the last 4 years are no longer on the team, it would just really surprise me if Bean just, I don't know, passively sort of sat back to see what falls to him instead of going up and getting a guy that he knows. When he said last week, I like to hit my head to hit the pillow Thursday night knowing I got my guy, that just about cinched it for me. Like, you just go get your guy. Who are you kidding? You have a giant hole on your roster.
Yeah, two things on this, and you're right about that, which is they actively made their own roster worse by trading Stephon Diggs, knowing that they already were without Gabe Davis. And even Brandon Bean used that word. He said, we're not a better roster. We're a worse roster today, however he said it, the day after they made the trade, right? I mean, they actively did that, knowing they already had to address the position most likely. Then they traded what he said 2 months earlier was their number one receiver, and a guy that he said he believed was still a number one receiver. Obviously, could have been posturing because of him, you know, looking to trade him, but he said that. So no doubt about that. That's, I think, why we've all been here at wide receiver for a long time, and especially since April 3rd when they traded Stephon Diggs. The other thing is, great point about, listen, we may in the media and all these people doing all the analysis say, look at all these great receivers. Look at all these guys who could really fit and be right there in this, you know, I don't know, bottom of one to bottom of two range. The Bills don't have the same grades on them. They're going to have guys that are nowhere near that. What we all might think is a guy that should be graded with a second round type of grade and comfortable there, they might have a fourth round grade on him. Mm-hmm. There may be a guy that we don't realize that they are really, really high on, that they say, you know what, if he gets there, we should get him. He really is, you know, someone who checked all their boxes for them. And I think that's what we find so fascinating about this, because you just never know how it's going to play out. And, you know, if they want to trade up, it's going to cost them. Guys, I'll tell you this. I did this article. I don't know if you saw it. I did this article at WGR550.com, and I have, like, I did the research on what it costs previous drafts to move up certain spots. And I looked at, you know, what teams might be willing to move. And the one thing that really stood out to me when I did it, boy, that third round pick they don't have, I understand now why Brandon Bean was upset.
Yes.
I understand now why he said, you know, this is truly, like, it was a big blow to us. Like, all of these deals I wanted to make basically were so much easier having that third round pick. And now because they don't, you could see when I laid out what they'd have to do, it pretty much goes to, okay, now you got to give up next year's second. And even then, though, you don't know if a team's going to do that, but it's probably going to cost that in lieu of this year's third, but it would have been so much easier with the third.
Yes, totally right. And I think next year's second, one of those seconds is in trouble tonight.
Agreed.
So I didn't, of course, do my own grades. I don't have a number to tell you how many players I have first-round grades on, but the number of wide receivers I would have first-round grades on is three. Because there has just been something about each of the other ones, at least one thing, statistics, a torn labrum, perhaps, and just, you know, varying things with each of those guys that would make me want to move to the early second, and then I'll take that third round back, thank you very much, and we'll draft somebody with it. That's what I would do. So how many grades the Bills have, first round grades the Bills have on receivers, I guess it is a guess. If they have three, hypothetically, Sal, if they have only three and are insistent on getting one, well, we're talking about a huge move. We're talking about a trade into the top 10. Recent speculation, there's stuff starting to trickle in now that Odunze will not get past six. So maybe he's out of reach. Probably he would be out of reach. Neighbors, though, would open up if that happens, where you might have a shot at him. 8 and 9, and those are both teams, I think, Atlanta and Chicago, we've even had it reinforced through the media about Chicago, that might want to trade down. So how does that sound to you? The Bills trading up 20 spots, realistic, worth it, the player, all of it.
It's the Julio Jones deal. It's what it is. The Julio Jones trade in 2011 was the Falcons moving up 21 spots. They went from 27 to 6, and they drafted Julio Jones, and he became what should be a Hall of Famer, and they went to a Super Bowl several years later. Their quarterback was an MVP. They broke records on offense. I think they're happy with it, but man, that is a really, really tough pill to swallow, and you got to absolutely hit on that pick if you're going to do it. The Bills traded up for Sammy Watkins a few years later. It did not work out. And that was a draft class with wide receivers kind of similar to this one where you had a lot of guys and you could have just stayed right there and taken that. On the research that I did, this if the Bills made this deal, it would look something like the Julio Jones trade. So for the Bills to do this, what I have, guys, is they would go to 9. They'd give up 28, of course. They'd also give up 60, their second rounder. They'd give up 133, their fourth rounder, and next year's first. I don't know how that hits you, but that's basically the Julio Jones trade. The only difference was, in the Jones trade, it was giving up a six. It was giving up a little extra because they were going to number 6, not to number 9. So I have them swapping from 28 to 9, and then giving up a 2, a 4, and next year's 1 to do it.
Well, when you analyze that yourself, how much trouble, if I can put it that way, would that leave the Bills in for this upcoming season with respect to now not having another pick until Saturday? Of course, other things can come, but you're still going to have to pay for that. Like, would you think they would basically rule that out because they have other positions to address tomorrow with the fourth, you know, things like that? Or, I mean, is this too,
Could they live with it?
Could they live with it? Right.
If they got the guy that they were convinced in, I think Brandon Bean would live with it. You know what quote sticks with me from the combine when somebody asked him about, you know, revisiting the Josh Allen trade and the trade ups and all that stuff? He said, "Well, I basically figured if it doesn't work out, I won't be here anyway." And I think about that tonight. If it doesn't work out, I won't be there. Now, Brandon Bean's established himself. I don't think he's in danger of going anywhere. You know, but if it became a bust, like, you'd have to say, like, now you're not even replenishing your roster. You've really hurt yourself a lot. But that's the quote I think about.
Yeah, a way to change the goodwill is to make this move and then have the receiver bust, and then you're in trouble. You know, I think you can always patch up whatever, you know, whatever depth you need, or even starters. Like, you're gonna find guys, you know, field a team. But if they were to make that move and this guy, you know, outside of, like, whatever, the bad luck of an injury or something, but even that would be bad luck, but it would open being up to Chris. This is why you don't put all your eggs in one guy's basket, because, you know, one torn ACL and like, oh my God, I gave up four guys and now this guy's right. So
Watkins is the cautionary.
It's a high wire act for sure. I mean, it's, you know, you can think it's bold, you can think it's reckless. It takes a lot of guts for a GM to give up that many assets to go get one guy, because, you know, you're just one turned ankle away from it going up in smoke.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's unlikely, but I would not rule it out. This is not a, you know, first-year GM. This is not a guy that has to save his job necessarily. This is a guy that I think feels good about where he is, and you know, if that opportunity presents itself, we know that he has traded before and he'd be willing to make deals.
All right, Sal, any set up the night for us, your coverage, anything you're thinking about here for the Bills? Of course, if there's any news from them, we'll be bugging you between now and 7, but just sort of like lay out what do you think the night will be like?
Yeah, I'll be down at One Bills Drive here shortly, and I'll be joining the guys at 7 o'clock for the WGR coverage. Of course, the draft starts at 8. We'll set it up, give you the environment in the Bills media room. But, you know, we're all going to be waiting, and you never know when that pick is going to come, right? I mean, like, just for example, Matt Bove and I were like, okay, we'll record something for It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, but what if they draft 10? What if they draft 20? What if they draft 28? Like, when are we waiting? How are we doing it? Like, we don't know. And my assumption is, you know, once they pick, they're going to be done in the first round. Even, you know, if they trade up, they're not going to come back into the first round. Though I would tell you this, guys, if they stay at 28, last year's pick was made at 11:30. The 28th pick was made at 11:30 p.m. So you're looking somewhere in the 11 p.m. hour. What am I watching for? Look, we have spent even this whole conversation, and for good reason, all this time on wide receiver. I just wonder if there's any scenario where it's something else. I wonder if someone falls and they just throw a curveball at us and say, you know what? We just could not pass. We like this guy too much. He's right there. It's a defensive player, whatever. And that's the one thing I think about that I don't think it's going to happen, but you just never know.
Can you name the number one guy on that list for you, for them? Like the one lineman, defensive player, edge, whatever.
I have a name. Latu.
Go ahead.
UCLA, the edge. He could fall spinal fusion, right? There's a scary surgery in his recent past, and he looks like an incredible prospect. But that surgery, that could be a story tonight. Like, I think without the surgery, maybe he's the top edge in the whole class. But he's got that. And, you know, I don't know where the Bills would come down. It could be a red flag for them just as well as it's for any of the teams, you know, the 27 teams ahead of them. But that's a guy, like, if he starts falling, I'm on alert on him, because I think his profile is of someone who could really be an impact player if you trust his neck.
I think that they would have, you know, red flag medicals, but I agree that, you know, once he starts falling, you think about it. But at the same time, if you have to jump up and get him, a guy that you're worried about medicals, now you're taking a risk with that and voiding yourself from any insurance because you don't have those other picks it took to go up there. So as much as I think that would be possible, the guy that comes to my mind is Cooper DeJean.
Yes.
This is the perfect fit for Sean McDermott's defense, guys. And they just lost two guys who were very similar to him and all pros. This is a player that some believe, when it's all said and done, will make more Pro Bowls and All Pros than any player in this draft. That's how good of a player. Some people have compared him to Kyle Hamilton, not as physical. I think he's just like a Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer type of player. You can put him anywhere. I just think the caution for me is for the Bills. I've been saying this for months. It's not a position they like to play, young guys. There's so much that goes into playing that position in this defense, especially for a ready-made team. They just do not play young safeties. They play guys who've been in this league. Even Poyer and Hyde had 4 years in each. Rapp had 4 years in. Edwards has 4 or 5 years in. That's the kind of guy they play. But, man, that is a fantastic fit.
I like it. I mean, I don't love it, but I like it.
I'm terrified. I like the player a lot, but I just don't. Passing on receiver and waiting till 60 is terrifying to me.
Interesting. I mean, You know, from the beginning, though, like, can we get a bong hit or something going on here with one of these guys? We can sort of, is so-and-so going to fall? That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Then Bulldog's going to name his fantasy team name after him.
Yeah. Right. There we go. That's what I need.
It's about time he mixed it up.
Tunsil's gas mask is getting pretty antiquated at this point. Yeah.
That pick turned out.
Yeah, it sure did.
That player turned out. Okay, Sal, should be a memorable night. Thanks for your time here.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the West Hare Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And like Sal is saying, you'll hear from him throughout the night, even if something happens here between now and when we're done at 7 and Nate and Derek and Zach take over. But he'll be prominent during their coverage into the evening as well.
Thinking about that one idea of his. Neighbors would be the player then.
What
trading up,
so say, many ideas.
8 or 9.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Julio Jones.
Right, yeah.
What's really challenging, okay, but what if he busts? We're talking about the end of Brandon Bean if he busts. We're talking about, like, you know, problems. We didn't address these other positions. The guy isn't, you know.
You gave up a ton of assets to get the one guy. Yeah.
Right. Watkins, you know, it's not that long ago, trading up for a receiver to get the best, the quote, best one in a draft where it turned out other guys may go to the Hall of Fame that you could have picked sitting still. Like, just that old conversation. What's challenging, I think, Malik Nabers, for the dozens, literally, of conversations we have had in the last 2 or 3 months, might be better than Harrison. You've got a lot of people who would who rated him above Marvin Harrison Jr. So, okay. Can he bust? The answer is always yes. The answer is always yes.
Anyone can bust.
An injury can just change you, and you're never the same. You know, and Watkins had the Jones fracture in his foot.
Yeah, Frank or whatever. Yeah, right.
Yeah, like that injury can mean a lot. You can stay in the league, but just not be elite. But, man, it's a same word a third time. Challenging to imagine that player not being incredible. This is how teams get into trouble. Because they're going, well, but he's different.
The talent seduces you.
Yes. And it seduces those people more than anybody else because that's their stock in trade. They all think they know best how to measure it and how to analyze it. This is what I'm paid to do. This guy is different. Bean wants to sleep tonight knowing that he got the guy. His whole game is knowing the difference, which very often gets these guys into big trouble and then fired because there's still a level of this that they cannot know. And they sometimes, I think, don't respect that. So that trade would be insane to talk about. And it might even be possible. As I look at this thing right now and listen to speculation, that might even be possible. You know, Atlanta should want to make a trade like that. Plus, you know, it's sort of like they are the team that did this for Julio Jones, if that means anything. But still, too long ago.
Right.
Atlanta might want to make a trade like that. Chicago as well. You know, like those are teams that any teams could be true of. Where you'd want to stock up like that.
I think if either one of those two guys, like I've been mostly focused on Adunze because I felt like he was, the argument has been about Nabers and Harrison Jr. as being on top. This is my read of it. I might have missed, you know, a meeting or something, but it feels like Adunze has consistently been the third one of the big three. So, okay, the other two are gone. Call the Bears at 9 and Adunze's there and like, let's dance. It could very well be Nabers, like some team that is either in a spot or wants to go get Rome Adunze, doesn't have to go as far as the Bills, could do that, and then Nabers is there at 9, and either scenario, I think the Bears' phone is ringing off the hook. Doesn't mean they'll make a deal. They might not hear anything they like, and who knows? They might like Malik Nabers that much more than Rome Adunze, and if they have a shot at just sitting there and taking Nabers, maybe they do that. Maybe the trade is off if Nabers is on the board for them. But either way, that is going to be an action spot, I think, And maybe, like you're saying, even above them slightly, like with Atlanta, maybe. But I feel like if one of those guys, the big three, is there at nine, the Bears are taking the whole 15 minutes, I think. Like, isn't it,
Is it 10 now?
Sorry, yeah. They're going to be busy, I think.
It had better be 10. We don't have time for 15.
I think that's right. I think 10.
If we're going to start at 8 o'clock.
It's become 10 the last few years.
It has become 10. Thanks to Quilted Squirrel for sponsoring our Facebook Live Draft Show. If you're a business owner or marketing manager wanting better results from your marketing, consider Quilted Squirrel. Your website needs to engage prospects, your video content needs to tell your story, and your advertising needs to convert. Sound about right? It's time to check out Quilted Squirrel. For more than a decade, Quilted Squirrel has helped local companies strengthen their brands, gain visibility, and generate more leads. Learn more today at quiltedsquirrel.com. That's quiltedsquirrel.com. Do you want that Sal trade? Do you want anything of the sort? Would that be the worst thing ever to happen? We're not, you know, in between, sure, that can be interesting, but we're looking for extremes here. No. What do you want from tonight? The night is here. Round one of the NFL draft. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with you. We'll look for your calls after the update at 803-0550. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.